As was announced, the scripture reading will be taken from the book of Hebrews, chapter 4, verses 6 through 7. Hebrews, chapter 4, verses 6 through 7. And I'll be reading from the New King James Version. Since therefore it remains that some must enter it, and those to whom it was first preached did not enter because of disobedience, again he designates a certain day, saying in David, today, after such a long time, as it has been said, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts.
It's good to be here again tonight, as always. Every time we gather together for an assembly like this, there are people in the audience who are lost. That is, those who aren't in a right relationship with God. That is almost always the case. And the fact of the matter is, if an individual is lost, or if we end up being lost, if we fall from grace, and we die in a situation in which we're not in favor with God, we can never, ever blame that on God. God is certainly a God of mercy, a God of grace and love. And out of that mercy and grace, he has set forth a scheme of redemption or a plan of salvation that is accessible to everyone. And so, once again, if we are lost, really, there's no one to blame but ourselves. But this is why, of course, God produced the gospel of Christ and set forth the gospel. And the gospel is the greatest message that has ever been preached, the greatest message that this world has ever heard. When we think about the gospel, we remember Romans 1 at verse 16. Paul tells us that it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And that gospel, of course, first of all, is the message of Jesus Christ and him crucified. Those are the facts of the gospel. If you open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, you might remember this familiar text in which Paul sets forth the gospel. And he says, beginning at verse 1, now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are saved, if you hold fast the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered unto you of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins. And there is the gracious part, of course, of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Notice, he died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures. This was not anything new. It's not something that caught God by surprise. He foreordained this. It was his plan to send forth his son, for his son to die on Calvary's cross for our sins. And it says that he was buried and that he was raised on the third day. Again, it says, in accordance with the scriptures. And so Jesus Christ died and he was buried. But if that was the end of the story, it would have been a very bleak story indeed. But we find that wasn't the case. By the power of God, he was raised from the dead. Jesus himself knew that he was going to be raised from the dead. You remember in Matthew chapter 16, that he said the gates of Hades would not be able to prevail against it. That is, the building of his church. He realized that he would conquer death. And so those are the facts of the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. We also recognize that there are instructions involved in the gospel, commandments that have to be kept. You hear this morning, we put those instructions up on the screen. You have to hear the word of God, John 6, verse 44 and 45. You have to believe the message that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, John 8 at verse 24. Many other passages speak of believing. You have to repent of your sins. That is, have to have a change of heart towards sin. Make up in your mind that you want to start serving God. Acts 17 at verse 30 and Acts 3 at verse 19. And Luke chapter 13 at verse 3 are just some of the passages that talk about that. And you have to then confess the Lord Jesus with your mouth. You have to make the good confession, an open confession. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10 talks about that. And then you have to be buried in the waters of baptism. Romans chapter 6 talks about a burial along with Colossians 2 and at verse 12. But in that passage in Romans 6, Paul emphasizes that we are baptized into his death. It is in the waters of baptism that we contact figuratively the blood of Christ, which washes away our sins. It is for the forgiveness of sins, Acts 2 at verse 38. So those are the instructions of the gospel. If you want to be saved, God has done his part, of course, in sending his son and raising him from the dead, but then you have to obey the gospel of Christ. That is a message that will never change. As long as this world stands, the gospel of Jesus Christ will be the same. It's not as if sometime in the future there's going to be a different set of instructions. That simply won't be the case. And so that's the gospel. It is a beautiful message. It is a wonderful message. The gospel, we have often said that in a world that is filled with hatred, the gospel is a message of love. In a world that is dominated by war, the gospel is a message of peace. In a world that is filled with people who are overwhelmed by depression and despair, the gospel is a message of hope. But it is also a message of urgency. We need to understand that those who are outside of the body of Christ, those who are in an undone condition, need to obey the gospel sooner than later. And there are many passages that speak of that. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 6 with me just for a moment. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, Paul speaks of this. Beginning at verse 1, he says, "Working together with him, then we appeal to you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he saith, in a favorable time I will listen to you, and in a day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the favorable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." The gospel is a message of urgency. We said that God is a God of grace, and of course, he is constantly extending that grace to those who are in sin, but his hand is not going to be outreached forever. He's not going to always extend this grace that is so available for people, for man today. No, there's going to come a time when that's going to end. And so Paul says, now is the time. Look at the passage that we read together just a moment ago in Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews, the fourth chapter, and at verse 6, the Hebrew writer says, "Since therefore it remains for some to enter it, and those who formerly received the good news failed to enter because of disobedience," that is, the rest of the land of Canaan. But the Hebrews writer is making an application to us today. Again, he says, he appoints a certain day. Today, saying through David, so long afterwards, in the words already quoted, "Today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts." There's another rest for the people of God, verse 9 emphasizes. That rest, of course, is the rest of heaven. But in order to get that, you have to first obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so these passages speak to the urgency of the gospel of Christ. It is an urgent message. If you're here tonight, and maybe you're one of the ones who are lost because you never obeyed the gospel. Maybe you're someone who is lost because you obeyed the gospel, but you haven't lived your life in accordance with the gospel of Christ. You haven't walked worthy of your vocation. You need to repent of your sins and ask God for forgiveness. Why not do that before it's too late? The gospel is a message of urgency. I very quickly tonight want to look at three reasons why. Number one, because the gospel is the final message. There is not going to be another message. It is the last message that God is sending forth to rescue mankind from sin. We've often emphasized the fact that there's only one Savior, and that's true. It is the Lord Jesus Christ. He has the words of eternal life. You remember when Jesus asked his apostles if they were going to go away when the multitude left him. The Peter turned to him and said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. There's just one Savior. There's just one way that you can be saved through receiving Jesus as your personal Savior. But you do that through this gospel that we're talking about. Through obedience to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And again, there's not going to be another. There is a passage that is in some ways a difficult passage. Turn with me over to Matthew, the 12th chapter. We'll not try to answer all of the questions that arise sometimes about this particular passage of Scripture. But there is a message, I think, that's very valuable for us today. This is the passage that speaks of the blaspheme of the Holy Spirit. Notice, if you would, at verse 30 of Matthew chapter 12, it says, whoever is not with me is against me, and whoever does not gather with me scatters. And this is still true all these years later. Either you're for Christ or you're against Christ. If you haven't obeyed the gospel, you are against Christ. If you're in that undone condition that we talked about, you're against Christ. Now, because of that, everybody falls in one of those two categories. You're either for or against Jesus, the Son of God. And so at verse 31, he says, therefore, I tell you, every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven people, but the blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven. And whoever speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven, but whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven, either in this age or in the age to come. And once again, I realize that this is a difficult text, and there are various different interpretations of this particular text. One thing I know that this passage is not indicating is that somehow the Holy Spirit is more important than the Son. Now, why is it that you can speak against or reject the Son, but not the Spirit? Why is it that Jesus said, if you speak against the Son, you'll be forgiven that, but if you speak against the Spirit, you'll not be forgiven that? It seems to indicate that somehow the Spirit must be more important than the Son. Well, we know it's not teaching that. That's not the case. I've always believed that this has to do with a timing situation. And it relates directly to what I'm talking about tonight. That is, that the gospel is the final message. Basically, we have a situation here where Jesus is talking to a group of people, particularly he is speaking at this moment to the scribes and the Pharisees, and they were in the process of rejecting him. But they would have another opportunity. Jesus was going to go away. And he would send the Spirit to them. And the Spirit would come with the saving message. You remember in passages like John chapter 16, in which Jesus promised the apostles that the Comforter would be given to them. The Comforter, of course, being the Holy Spirit. He says, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. Now, of course, that's exactly what the Holy Spirit did. The Holy Spirit fell upon the apostles of Christ. They were baptized with the Holy Spirit and given revelation and inspiration. And so, as a result of that power, they were able to write the Word of God, to reveal the mystery, the gospel of Christ. And that's exactly what they did. And what Jesus is saying in Matthew chapter 12 is, again, you can reject me. You'll have another opportunity. They indeed rejected him. But later on, they would have the opportunity to hear the teachings of the Holy Spirit. And if they would only obey it, they would be saved. And in fact, some of those Pharisees of the first century did that very thing. But if you reject the teachings of the Spirit, if you reject that final revelation, that final message that is set forth by the Holy Spirit, if you die rejecting the Holy Spirit, you'll never have another opportunity. You'll never have another chance. This is our last chance. The engrafted word that is revealed by the Holy Spirit, that's the last message that you'll ever hear that can save you. If you reject that, you will die in your sins and be lost for all eternity. It's why the gospel is a message of urgency. There's not going to be another one. And it's not going to change, as we indicated. You might think, well, I'm going to put off obeying the gospel of Christ, and maybe it will be more to my liking in a few months or a few years. It's never going to change. The instruction is going to be the same 10 years, 20 years, 30 years from now as it is right now. Why not just obey it tonight? Why not follow the instructions of the Holy Spirit? Remember, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Romans chapter 8 at verse 2, Paul referred to it as the law of the Spirit of life. The law of the Spirit, because again, it's the Spirit who reveals it. The law of the Spirit of life, because that's what it produces, life. It can produce life in you. It can change you this very night from being in an undone condition to a saved condition. It can transport you from outside of Christ to inside of Christ when you obey its precepts, when you follow its instructions. You can become a new creature in Christ, but it's the last message. Not only that, but number two, we understand that life is so brief and fleeting. And that's why the gospel is urgent. That's why it's so important not to procrastinate. Someone has said procrastination is the thief of time, and that's right. I know sometimes we think in our mind, again, intellectually, we know we might die sometime soon, but we really don't think that's going to be the case. But it is possible. And you just don't know when life is going to cease for you. Remember the passage in James? We quote it all the time, but let's just go ahead and read it from the Bible. In James chapter 4, listen to James talk about the brief nature of life. James 4 and at verse 13, he says, come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. See, those are words from somebody who is not considering the fact that life might end at any moment. Those are words that are uttered by someone who thinks that they're going to live for a long time and they'll have plenty of time to work the details of their life and what they're going to do. They can do that tomorrow or sometime in the future. And you know, really, that's the way the majority of people think. But James is exposing that as dangerous thinking. He says at verse 14, yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. You've heard me say before, we bring these passages up not to scare people into obeying the gospel. We don't want anybody simply to obey the gospel out of fear. But it is important for us to recognize that life is short. It's why the gospel is an urgent message. Because life can end at any time. We have, of course, example after example. I saw in a newspaper clip, and I guess it was a picture on the internet of a group of people. I don't even remember the details of it. Maybe some of you saw it. But it was a group of hikers who, there were seven or eight of them, I guess. And the thing about it was, this picture was the last picture they took. They all tragically died shortly thereafter, as they were out there hiking. And you look at that picture, and it's the kind of picture that all of us would take. We've all taken pictures, and we're smiling widely in the picture, and we don't have any thought of we might die soon. We did take the picture and having a real good time. It's exactly what they did. They were smiling. They obviously were enjoying themselves. They had no idea that the end of their life was right around the corner, that they would never take another picture. But that's life, isn't it? That's what James is talking about. It's like a mist. It's here for a little while, and then just like that, it vanishes. That's why the gospel is an urgent message, begging us to obey it as quickly as we possibly can. I know that if you don't believe in Jesus, of course you need more teaching on that. If there's sin that's in your life that you're not willing to repent of, you need more encouragement along those lines. We don't want people to obey the gospel too soon. But if you believe in Jesus and you're willing to repent and to live a new life and to serve God and make Jesus the Lord of your life, there's no reason to put off obeying the gospel message. Because life is brief. Life is short. There was a king who called in his jester before him and gave him a little stick. And he said to his jester, he said, I want you to hold on to this stick until you find a fool bigger than yourself. And he went away, came back about a year later. The king called him in again. This time the king was on his deathbed, and he told the jester that he was going away to a far country. The jester asked him, have you made proper preparations for that? The king said, no. He said, here, take this stick. I have found a bigger fool than myself. And it was the king. He said, I trifle with just the things of this life. But you trifle with the things of eternity. And how many of us do that? There's so many illustrations that we could give of how we put ourselves in just a precarious situation, a dangerous situation, by not obeying the gospel of Christ. We're rolling the dice, so to speak, that we won't die, that we'll live for a good long time, and perhaps sometime in the future we'll obey the gospel of Jesus Christ and be saved. But once again, that's just a roll of the dice. You don't know. It's a gamble at best. Life is short. Why not obey the gospel of Jesus Christ tonight? It will save you. There's no question about that. It saves every single time. When you take those steps that we talked about earlier, you will be saved. It's not you might or you could or should. You will be saved. But you have to do your part. You have to obey the gospel. The third thing, just very quickly, is that we don't know when Jesus is going to come back. And that's just a reality. I can't convince you maybe that you might die sometime soon. You might again know that intellectually, but in your mind you think that you have many years out in front of you, but you don't know when Jesus is going to come back. Jesus himself warned people about that very thing. Remember in Matthew chapter 24, turn your Bible over to that passage. Matthew, the 24th chapter. Matthew chapter 24, we'll not read the whole context here. He says several things. But at verse 42, he says, therefore, stay awake, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. And you just stop and think about that. We really don't, do we? Another passage tells us that not even the sun knows when that day is going to be. But you don't know when the Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken in two. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming, and an hour you do not expect. Isn't that something? Not only a time that you don't know, but at a time you don't even expect. You don't really expect Jesus to come back tonight, do you? That just tells you that he can. You don't expect Jesus to come back before you go to work tomorrow, before you go off to school tomorrow, but he's going to come at that kind of time, at a time you don't even expect. In fact, later on, we'll not read the whole thing, but over in Matthew chapter 25, in the first 13 verses, we have the parable of the 10 virgins. That's what that parable is all about. Jesus urging people to watch and to be ready, because Jesus can come back at any time. At verse 13, he says, as he concludes it, he says, watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour. Don't all these passages speak to the urgency of the gospel of Christ? Why wouldn't you obey the gospel now while you have the opportunity? This is your last message. The last message is not going to change. It'll be the same tomorrow, the next day, and until Jesus Christ comes back. You don't know, but that life will end just at any time or when Jesus will come back. Three good, solid reasons not to procrastinate. God has done his part. And maybe we don't think enough about all that went into God's plan of salvation, the sacrifice by both the Father and the Son. But he's done his part. Won't you do your part? Why not do your part before it's too late? If this is like any other audience, there's someone here tonight in an undone condition. There's someone who is lost. Either you haven't obeyed the gospel, or you haven't been walking worthy. We think of these kind of lessons and we think of the kind of points that I made, and we often just think of those who have never been baptized. But if you have fallen away, if you're not living according to the gospel, it's just as applicable to you. Don't leave this building in an undone condition. God loves you too much. He's done too much for you. And it's just not necessary to take that chance. Won't you obey the gospel of Christ? We've told you how to do it. If you believe in Jesus, you're ready to repent of your sins. You have the courage to confess Jesus Christ and then be buried in the waters of baptism. Why not tonight? Do it right now as we together stand and sing.